Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our mind. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Need a little help, y'all. Yes, need a little help. Say it, boy.
Need some help, y'all.
Change the world what it used to be.
Can't
do it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah. Stop using the dope.
high, it don't matter. Yeah. What race, creed or color, everybody, we need each other. Wake up, everybody.
No more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking. Time for thinking ahead. Wake up, all your teachers. Start to teach a new way. They're the ones that suffer each and every day. Teach the children.
Teach the baby.
Teach the babies.
Teach the children.
Teach the children.
Teach the babies.
Teach the children.
Teach the babies.
Amen, amen, amen. To God be the glory for this awesome and wonderful evening. We're so grateful and thankful that you decided to join us on this wonderful day of April the 19th, 2021, a day we've never seen before, a day we'll never see again. But on this day, being grateful and thankful, we're willing to take time out to thank our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for being who he is in our lives. My name is Tammy Storr. I will be joined by Minister Jesse Storr shortly and thanking God for his ministry gifts as he shares with us through transparency tonight as we continue to recognize, know, and understand how important it is for us to be able to be on one accord and do the things that God has called us to do for such a time as this. It's no different than as we think about our hearts, we have to condition our hearts to receive oneness. And that is so important for us, and we must understand and know that it is our responsibility when we get to a certain age. Yes, our parents condition us when we're growing up, but then you have to take ownership sooner or later and start conditioning your own mind and your own heart to what you desire as an adult and what you desire for your marriage, what you desire for your children. And so we just pray tonight will be a blessing for each and every one of you. As always, we ask that if you desire to share, simply press 1 on your phone, and then what we will do, you will be placed in the host queue, and Minister Jesse will open up your mic at the appropriate time, allow you to either ask a question, share a comment, give a scripture, sing a song, whatever it is that God places on your heart. We want you to come forward and share with not only Jesse and I, but our listening audience as well. We never know when the blessing is going to be there to be able to bless another brother or sister. And that's what it's all about. Just to be honest, that's what life is all about. How can we be a blessing to somebody else? Well, let me just put you on a little secret. You cannot be a blessing by being quiet, by not opening up your mouth and not being able to speak life or to encourage another brother or sister. And I always thank you because I know that the word says where two or more are gathered together and we call upon the mighty name of Jesus, that he will be in the midst. And I want to thank all of you that get on pretty early and you're able to be in agreement with our opening prayer because we need the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct us in everything we do. So we want to just ask that you continue to pray along with us, pray for us as we pray for you. And I just want to thank God once again for allowing us to go before his throne and invite the Holy Spirit in to make sure that we're saying everything we're supposed to say and doing everything we're supposed to do. Most gracious and most heavenly Father, as always, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for another day, another opportunity to be able to be amongst the living. Thank you for these powerful, strong, God-fearing men and women that have made their way to the Blog Talk Radio Show. We pray tonight, Lord God, that you will continue to be in each and every one of our lives and give us an opportunity to recognize, know, and understand, Lord God, the things that you desire for us to do, not what we desire, but we want to look at it, Lord God, as to where can we be a servant unto you. I know, Father, you would have never brought us together as husband and wife, as spouses, and we are servants to one another. And I just pray, Lord God, that we get a better understanding of that. And then I know, Lord God, that there are children that may be involved in our relationships, and I just pray that we're able to serve our children at a young age, and when they get older, Lord God, they will understand and return the favor and be there to serve us when we need it. So, Father, you knew what you was doing when you put this thing together, Father God, called marriage, called a family. And I just pray that we all get a better understanding and we're all able and willing to make sure that, you know, we're conditioning our hearts to receive oneness. We're conditioning our hearts to receive being the best sister can be on this side. And we are conditioning our hearts so that we can receive being the best parent. We are conditioning our hearts so we can be the best friend. There's so many ways we can look at it, not just in oneness and marriage, but we got to condition our hearts to receive a lot of things. So, Lord God, I just pray that you give revelation knowledge. Let it come forth for each and every individual under the sound of my voice. Give us an opportunity, Lord God, to be able tonight to be one of those times that we're here to learn. So therefore, in your word, will you tell us to study to show ourselves approved? We have some more nuggets that we're able to store in these awesome and wonderful brains that you've given us. And at the appropriate time, Lord God, I want to just say thank you for allowing us to regurgitate and allowing us an opportunity to be able, Lord God, to share with others that need to learn about what we learned tonight. And as always, Lord God, everything that my dear husband pours into us, I pray blessings on top of blessings for him, and I pray that you pour back in him a thousandfold. Give him an opportunity to keep keeping on and always having a willing spirit to share your good news with all that he comes in contact with. As always, thank you once again, Lord God, for the married couples, for those that are looking to get married, those that, Lord God, are still waiting on their perfect soulmate. Be with them all, Lord God. You can handle it all. Just want to personally say thank you for an awesome and a beautiful wedding this past weekend that we had an opportunity to witness. Thank you, Lord God, for Charles, and thank you for Jennifer. And allow them, Father God, as they came together as one in oneness on this past weekend, that you would bless them to stay in the oneness that you created for them. Just continue to allow them to grow closer together and love on each other like never before. Thank you once again for this privilege to pray. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen, amen, and amen.
Well, let the church say amen, amen, and amen again. We praise God and we thank God for the beautiful ministry gifts of my wife, my queen, my friend, my workout buddy, my co-partner, and everything that we do. We praise God and thank God for each one of you as well. God looks at the heart. What is the heart of the matter? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. God said David was a man after his own heart. So obviously, he must have been a man that had God in him. And when we say man, we mean generically, because we know in the way people look at so many things today, some could say that the Bible was written from a male perspective, could call it all kinds of realities, but just generically agree that when we mention that, we're not excluding women, we are including them, because we know God himself said that, hey, it ain't good for a man to live by himself, and when he finds a wife, he has found a good thing. So we praise God and we thank God for this reality. And we also know that as we survey our surroundings, that we, as Dr. Massey said at one time from the University of Colorado, he said, what we are is where we were when. And that where we are today and what we are today is based on what we were doing over the past 5 years, the last 10 years, the last 20, 40, 50, etc. And you have a choice once you come to that recognition and understanding. It's like Tammy shared. You have a choice to begin to write your own script, or you go along with the script that's written for you. And we know and understand that oftentimes the script that's been written for us is a script of failure. It's a script that says we can't do all things. It's a script that would tell us that we shouldn't believe all things. It's a script that would tell us that if we ever made a mistake or an error in life, that's enough to condemn us for the rest of our life. And so we have an opportunity as we age, as we grow, and as we mature to change that script. And so tonight we want to discuss what about the conditioning of our hearts? Is that part of the reasons why it's so difficult for us to achieve a walk in oneness? that perhaps we have been conditioned in a way we truly do not understand. And so because of that, we need to get an understanding of what it is that caused us to be who we are. All of us in this particular dispensation, we grow up under the tutelage and under the leadership of parents. And our parents, God bless them, they do the very best they can. I've never met a parent that would say to me, I did everything in my power to make sure my child failed or to make sure my child didn't know how to love or that my child didn't have an understanding of life itself. I've never met a parent who would say such a thing. Yet I have met parents who by their actions validate that they did not understand that some of the things that they were doing was indeed causing their child to achieve what they were not saying. They did that simply based on the fact that that's what they had known themselves. And so as a result of that, the training and the accustomization that takes place would cause them and or their offspring to behave in certain ways under certain circumstances. That's what conditioning does to us. And how do we then evaluate the use of conditioning in the lane of marriage? We think of conditioning sometimes, most of us who may be athletes or we may have been former athletes or we may be athletes or people who desire to be athletes. And we think of the word conditioning and we can understand it because we can place it against a physicality, something we can see, something where when someone may go in today and their bodies look a certain way, and after 3 months or 6 months or 12 months or 2 years of serious conditioning, we can see it with our eyes. Well, guess what? In our spirits, in our mind, the same thing occurs. See, we start at our beginning, and we end up at that place of our willingness to mature and change to become the best person we can be. Let me say that again. See, you can't control. You had nothing, no control whatsoever from your beginning. You had nothing at all to do with that. But see, based on where you are right now, you can change that as well if you are willing to do those things necessary to be successful in your marriage. See, a quick question I have is why in our orientation, or why are we so oriented towards service? You know, even though our ancestors dealt with and conquered the pain of slavery. Because isn't slavery about service? Isn't slavery about doing the bidding of someone else? So there is an element of service that you may say we extract. And when we call ourselves in love, or when we call ourselves, you know, doing everything we can for a particular person and for our spouse, we do it with an attitude of service and commitment. Perhaps that is something that passed down. Yet we also know and understand that we have a very short tolerance for anything that takes place that would hinder our theoretical relationship and our real relationship, and we're willing to reject it. Is that another potential element of what took place in slavery? And then we get to a point where we were able to come out of that servitude that then perhaps we would reject it with an element of hostility. According to one particular individual, Dr. Tara Hanna, that's some of the things that happened. Is that after our ancestors, many of them had been born in wedlock, conditioned to some of the things that took place in that day. When they were able to come out of those situations, they indeed had a mindset that some even called manipulation. Some would say that based on the situation that they were in, they used that to either go back to a particular relationship or perhaps to reject it. Suffice to say, whatever it is, that prior conditioning before 1865 and what we know is that when the Civil War ended here, the Emancipation Proclamation began, there was a new look on the relationship between men and women, specifically black men and women in America. Now, you can read more about that if you're so interested in the book Bound in Wedlock by Dr. Tara Hunter. I would suggest it if you want to get a sense of perhaps maybe why we have some of the issues we have today. And then when we come to the concept of race as a social construct, it has a significant impact on marital success. And because most of it, sometimes, whether we realize it or not, social construction has been driven and enabled by this general philosophy of white supremacy. The white woman being so pure, being so great, being so this and that, programmed into the consciousness of black men and women. The number of black men around the United States that lost their lives because supposedly, theoretically, they had not been improper or disrespectful of a white female. We read a thing the other day from the book 100 Years of Lynchings by Ralph Ginsberg, where it was said they celebrated here in the city of Atlanta, where they had gone a whole year without a lynching. And this was written by a lady, which basically said at that point in time, because no white woman had accused a black man of disappropriately or misappropriately looking at her or saying anything to her. Some of us even may remember the Willie Lynch letter, where supposedly a white overseer said to some of the masters that, hey, if you do what I suggest to you, you'll be able to control these black folks for the next 300 years. And whether that's true or not, you can say that something took place during that time that has had a definite impact on how we look at marriage and how we looked at each other. Have you ever noticed the lack of diversity in most churches, synagogues, and mosques? Some say it's true, and while some say it's not. Suffice it to say, the activities allegedly associated with the Willie Lynch letter or the impact on the consciousness of those people born during the time of all of the more than 4,500 lynchings in this country is validated. Something took place because most Sundays, Saturdays, or whatever day it may be that a certain group may determine to come together as a congregation, there are some of the most segregated times of the week. And see, we have to begin to understand all of these factors if we want to understand what's going on in this postmodern era rejection of marriage. See, if we fail to understand the role that white supremacy has taken on the mindset and the conditioning of people in America, we'll never understand what's going on. See, it's amazing that when you attempt sometimes to share in love with people what's going on, they sometimes may reject because it's something new, it's something different. But we need to understand why we sometimes have these feelings or feel so comfortable in really just condemning each other. You know, when we look at this word conditioning again, it has a significant influence. It can determine the manner or outcome of something. You know, conditioning can be used for good or bad because conditioning processes can constrain, they can control, can govern, determine, decide, exert influence on, affect, have an effect on, act on, work on, touch, have an impact on, change, alter, modify, transform, shape, guide, sway, and even create bias. The one thing that I love that jumped out at me and all of that was that word transform. Because, see, there are those of us who believe that when we come to that point of understanding, that we will literally take ourselves through a process of transformation. Where we will do everything we can to transform and become something different than what our environment had conditioned us to be. And that could be from a good environment to becoming something great, from a great to becoming something that's far above the norm, or from coming from humble beginnings, as the world will look at it, to becoming all that God designed. That's because you make a thorough and dramatic change in the form, in the appearance, or the character in which you are. You begin to rebuild yourself and condition your consciousness because you want to experience all that God said was available to you. See, we have to begin to understand that conditioning happens to you consciously or unconsciously. We are the product of conditioning, and we conduct ourselves accordingly. See, sometimes even as adults, we get to a point and someone may ask us a question that's very deep or very inquisitive. And we have to make a decision, and it happens in a millisecond, if we're going to be honest and transparent or if we're going to be open and truthful. And in response to that, it's going to be based on what level of conditioning you have encountered during the course of your life. But see, the good thing about conditioning is our ability to change, to reverse, and to reject conditioning that limits our purpose and our responsibility, that would reject processes that hinder our vision work. See, marriage, more than any other relationships, will reveal all the dysfunctional gaps we bring to the marriage when we do not have cognitive awareness. So see, we've got to cognitively understand that regardless of how great you feel you are or how great you think you are, you have some gaps in your development, and you have yet become all that God ordained you to become. It's just a fact. So what's the key point we want to make tonight? The key point, see, is real simple, we believe. Each one of us comes to a marriage reality that's driven by the conditioning of life to this point in our lives. There have been parents, siblings, other family members, friends, teachers, coaches, neighbors, co-workers, and anyone who may from time to time enter into our world. And see, the world has been conditioned to believe that life is more enjoyable when you eliminate concern and empathy for others, and especially those who may hold the key to happiness in your mind based on your life experience. But see, if we look at that, we also have to begin to understand we were designed to create that perfect will of God. And see, when we can create that perfect will of God, we can begin to see and understand what's taking place in this current dispensation. What's happened to cause us to get into a situation that we're right, wrong, or indifferent? We make a decision to abandon ship, to go overboard, to just jump off the boat, everything, instead of finding a way to get back on ship, finding a way to get back to the process of condition that would be necessary to put us in position not only to be a loving person, but also put us in position to be conditioned to be able to receive that love from someone else. And so we want you to know and understand that that's what we want to get done. We want to be able to understand, how can we get back to that point? How can we get back to that time when I know I can give all of myself? I know that I can be one that someone can come to learn to love. And when we get to that point, there's something great that'll happen. We're going to give you some of those examples of what's causing us to have this disconnect, and then some ideas of what we can do to improve it. We come right back from this short break. We'll be right back.
Girl, you are mine, that's all I know. Hey, we got something special. Wise men can't define it. It's just like heaven watching us. And it feels just like I'm in love.
From the brother's side, we used to say, man, your nose has been blown so wide up we could drive a Mack truck through your nose. And we would laugh because it was true. It was something about that moment. Yet in this current dispensation, something has taken place and something has happened. We are seeing so many significant negative and adverse realities being manifested in children all over the world today. More and more individuals embracing concepts of self-realization. More today, more willing not to even give consideration to their spouse or their potential spouse. A lot of this postmodern perspective of the family is driven by many things. We won't have time to hit all of them, but I want to just hit a couple of them, a few of them. You know, the postmodern mindset today says that the nuclear or the family of a mother and a father joined together, blessed with children, does not address the level of dysfunction spouses have endured in their lives. You see, basically that is saying that since you may have been in a family where a father or a mother may have been abusive, or perhaps you was in a family where there was no father there or there was no mother there, or perhaps you was in a family where there was some kind of problem with substance abuse, there was some kind of inability for the father to provide financially, or one or the other was going out and doing whatever it may have been. People convinced themselves that because of those kinds of situations, it's unrealistic to think you can have oneness in a marriage. But guess what? There was someone that lived many years ago, according to the word of God, over 2,000 years ago, that said that all things are possible if you believe. And the opposite holds true, that nothing is possible if you don't believe. And so they're correct. If they don't believe that a nuclear family, intact and led by lateral commitment to each other as husband and wife, then it won't address those levels of dysfunction. Because it's just like when God said to us we could become the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, if we are the right spouse, if we are the right person, then whatever those shortcomings may be, you never know how God may have used that person or will use that person to fulfill those needs that you have. See, I can share, even in my situation and in Tammy's situation, we come from situations where the experience with the nuclear family impacted us greatly. I've shared many times I was adopted as an adult, but my mother remarried when I was 12 and a half years old. And by the model that we were able to see over time from our adopted father and how he loved our mother and how he made sacrifices, the impact is always evident. All of us were married. Tammy, in her situation with her mother and father, being together over 50 years, all her brothers and sisters were married. I mean, it has a tremendous impact, whether we realize it or not. And the beautiful thing about it is when you see those involved begin to mature, begin to develop, and begin sometimes to know and to understand that perhaps their shortcomings early on could have adversely impacted the family. So no, I don't agree that it does not address. It does address. And really, when you begin to speak of the blended family, because see, that would say that all of the surrogate families have superior ranking over the nuclear intact family. Why would we agree with that? Some will agree with it because the statistics say you should. See, the social dynamics that are changing today to where you are expected to accept any kind of surrogate family setting that comes forth, where you know and understand, if you just think back a minute and use cognitive reasoning, you can begin to see and understand how it only compounds the dysfunction and dysfunction that will exist between men and women in a society that's trying to advance the development and the fulfillment of its people. It doesn't work. And so today we have a more chaotic reality in this particular dispensation that would say, do your own thing, become anything that you want to be. And while that may sound good, fundamentally, it does not meet what each individual may need. See, in this age, we're also told that spouses have more options. With the increase in technology and mobility, a woman or a man don't have to feel like, oh, I can't go anywhere. Oh, I can't do this. I can't do that. Because they have mobility. They have technology. And because of that, they'll be able to do the things that a mama or grandmama or auntie or daddy or uncle couldn't do years before. And what they miss sometimes is you still must have skills. You still must have ability. You see, one of the greatest that we see impacting this reality we think today is just the fact that women work just as much or more than men. I mean, it used to be a thing where we could say, think, feel, and believe that, oh, the man went out and he was a breadwinner, and the woman stayed home. No, we know that's been changed. That has changed. And there are many instances where the woman may make more money than the man. But that, does that mean because of that, you shouldn't have an intact family? You shouldn't have a family of a man and a woman, a mother and a father, a husband and a wife, just because of that? In my opinion, there should be a situation where you have more reason to come together because you have then evolved. You see, one of the great examples of why this is more difficult to condition ourselves for success in marriage, there's a general decline in the belief of a divine creator. And so many today, they just think, feel, and believe, I don't need God. I don't need to believe in some kind of entity that I can't see. I don't need to believe in, I don't need that. Why do I need that? And see, right, wrong, or indifferent, I would never attempt to convince you. I can only share with you my own story, my own reality with the universe and with life, which is to know that there is a creator. Now, we may not know exactly all the time how to define or how to call or what proper nomenclature may be, because we know and understand that some of us and our ancestors came here a different way. But we can, by deduction, determine that it must have that had something to do from whence our ancestors came. Because we know today that for many of us, those original belief systems came out of what we call Africa. And so that's enough that we need to know and understand. And we know it's been Europeanized and it's been bastardized and a whole lot of things have happened to it. But I think one of the fundamental things that we need to do and make sure we get back together is the belief and understanding that the Creator is real. We live in a day where the ease of divorce, no fault divorce. Oh, you don't like the way he look. You don't like the way he sound when he sleep. You don't like the way she look when she comb her hair. Oh, you don't like the way she, you know, sets the dinner. You know, whatever it may be. Oh, no problem. Let's get a divorce. It's not God's plan. Marriage is supposed to grow you. It's supposed to help you become that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. That's what it's designed to do. You see, that leads to this greater belief in the freedom to leave relationship, regardless, even if you have children. So what? It's your world. They have to fend for themselves. They don't have to know and see and understand or experience the need why it's beneficial to see a mother and a father together. They won't understand my experience if they don't. They won't understand my wife's experience if they don't. The value in seeing that man and woman go through the trials and the tribulations of life, the ups and the downs, the good and the bad. There is no more valuable laboratory of life than to see that. And for whatever reason, God created it. If you don't like it, you know, if you don't understand it, hopefully one day you'll be able to ask him and he can explain it to you. You know, if you really think about it and get into some meditation right now, he'll give you the answer, and it's pretty plain and simple. But, you know, we got to leave here tonight, and I hope you come back and listen to this broadcast again, because this is one of those where you want to stop it, you want to meditate on it, you want to think about it, because, see, you got to understand, we all are conditioned. And you have to either embrace it and say you want to be part of that yourself. You want to allow the script that God has written on your heart to manifest itself. Then you got to sometimes sit down and listen to this stuff real closely and do it again. But if we leave tonight, there are some things that I want to suggest you do. We want to suggest you do. Hopefully we can get to all of them. The number one thing we want you to do is to reject those theories that deem we are not able to have a balanced nuclear family. Reject that. It doesn't matter if your mother was an alcoholic, if your daddy was a hoe. That's what I said, because the hoe spirits are real. You know, it doesn't matter. Reject people that say because you came from the other side of town, what makes you think you could be this or that? Reject them. Reject them. Reject theories that promote the inability to change that which has already been conditioned. People try to tell you, oh, you are what you are. You know, your daddy was this, your granddaddy was this, your mama was that, your grandmama was this. You are what you are. Reject that. They say, no, I can become anything I desire to become. Because I'm created in the image of God. I may have been damaged along the way, but I know I can become anything I desire to be. Reject theories that promote personal and selfish satisfaction with man-made gadgets designed to replace human beings. That could be anything. In the day, one of this very obvious, it's just the phone, the smartphone itself. It's so crazy. You go up into a place, and we all have been guilty of it. You got six people sitting around, eight people sitting around, and instead of them dealing with social conditioning, they dealing with smartphone conditioning. Smartphone is controlling the conversation because ain't nobody saying nothing to nobody else. Don't let that happen to you. Reject theorists that say if a woman makes more than the man, she must be in control. Where did that come from? I mean, who's keeping track of that? No, I know there may be some reasons why some may think that, but we got to get rid of that. If you're going to have oneness, be bilateral, be mutual. You don't have to have a situation where now all of a sudden any dime, any penny, whatever, then it's got to come under one or the other. God didn't create that. I encourage you to reject that. Reject theories that say if a woman makes more, I've already mentioned that. Reject theories that promote the concept of no creator. Ain't no God. Where y'all get this from? Ain't no God. Y'all crazy believing that stuff. I knew y'all was crazy when I met y'all. I knew you was crazy when I heard you start talking this God stuff or whatever. Well, let me just put it like this. I know that God is real. And I will say and I will admit, I called him God or her God simply because that's the way I was conditioned. But see, regardless of what we want to call the creator is real. How do I say that? Because if you believe in meditation, if you believe in prayer, if you believe in whatever it is, you will know and understand that there is something, I believe the creator, I believe God will speak back to you, will speak to your spirit, will speak to your soul, will speak to your mind, and will give you clear input and will give you clear direction. But see, again, if you are right, if you don't believe it, then that's covered as well. You cannot receive. It's not going to happen if you don't believe it. Reject theories that promote the belief, just leave. Okay, you don't like it, just leave. Okay, she didn't cook your favorite dish right, just leave. Oh, he didn't, take out the trash on the time you want him to take it out, just leave. See, today we're in a point of time where people will come up with some of the weirdest, weakest reasons and rationale to just leave. And we think God is pleased with that. God is not pleased. God created us to be able to understand that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold and casting down imagination. And everything, every thought, every theory, every belief that would exalt itself above who you are. When you say, I am a child of God, there is no way you let no theory tell you just leave. If it ever comes a time when you leave, it must be you have exhausted, you have evaluated, you have researched, you have done everything possible, and now you feel there is no final alternative but to leave, but there's a whole list of reasons why. And then, just reject theories that say they don't cater to you. Again, don't do anything they want you to do. So that may mean you living, but you're not talking. You surviving, but you're not jiving. You in the same home, but you're always alone. See, you got to reject theories that say you can get alone, you can make it work, you could just be there, and you could then extract the value from it. God didn't create you that way. He said earlier, God said, it ain't good that man lives alone. So guess what? When God said to a man, the same thing applies to the woman. It ain't good that a woman live alone. So we pray tonight. I know it was somewhat quick, but that's how God gives it sometimes. You got to go back and you got to listen to this again. But condition your heart to receive oneness. You know, with marriage being such a difficult and complicated relationship, we got to know and understand if it's tough and if it's difficult, it ain't going to be easy. But the reward is so great. Well, my queen, I just kind of got in the flow. I hope you didn't mind, but I'm going to open up your mic and ask you to share any closing comments and then pray us out. God bless.
Amen, Jesse. To God be the glory. What an awesome, powerful message tonight. We all recognize, know, and understand that I don't care what it is we do. It starts with our hearts. It starts with our mind. It starts with us wanting to say to ourselves, are we willing to invest the time to, in some situations, recondition? Because everything that we know that we were taught probably is not in a line with everything we desire today in our home or with our children. And so I'm thankful that God is such an awesome God, that he is all-knowing. He will let us know through signs. He will let us know through various, you know, things that he places in our spirit on the things that he wants us to do just a little bit different to recondition whatever is already there that may not be working. Now, on the other hand, you may, as Jesse has indicated, had the privilege and the opportunity to be led and guided and directed by a powerful and awesome mother and father that you know pretty much everything you need to do, but are you willing to do it? That would be the key thing. And so I say to you, if you notice that there are some things that really are not going the way that you desire them to go, I would implore you to reevaluate your life and reevaluate your heart, reevaluate your intentions, reevaluate what you're doing that you have control. Don't worry about your spouse. You don't have control over your spouse. So the thing you have to do, once you take ownership of something this powerful and you know that there are some things that God truly wants you to do, and once you realize conditioning, you know, your heart in order to receive oneness is not a bad thing. You know, anything worth having is worth working hard for. And Jesse went over so much detail and so many things and examples and how we lived our life versus how our parents may have lived their life versus how their parents lived their life. And as we all say, there's no difference. All of us probably feel the same way. We did the best we can do based on what we knew. And so many of us, i.e. my husband, the number one, I don't think I've ever met anyone that researches as much as him. And if you don't know, do a little research. And I just hope and pray that God gives us all the ability to go out there. There's information for you to find on how can I do this? How can I position myself to condition my mind and my heart to be the best spouse on this side of heaven? It's up to you to determine what steps you must take, because your steps more than likely would be different than mine. And my steps will be different than the next person. And so I just pray that God gives us all the opportunity and the ability to look into the mirror, that when we look at ourselves, we're able to determine what it is that we must do. And see, if you don't ever sit down and think about what must I do in order to recondition or to condition better, you know, if you don't study this thing, if you don't get an understanding in your own heart, you won't do well with it. And we know this is one of the areas that will allow you to remain in oneness. And we don't want you just to be married. We want you to be in true oneness that the Bible talks about in Genesis 2:24, where it says, husbands and wives, leave your parents, and you're going to cleave to yourself and become one. But how about so many of us in our marriages, they just don't want that part of their marriage. They don't want to be one in everything. They don't want to share finances. They don't want to share in doing housework. They don't want to share in responsibilities of cooking. There's so many areas that, you know what, you can't look at what your parents did, your grandparents did. Condition your lives, your hearts, in the manner in which you know God desires for you to go. And if you only allow yourself that opportunity, I will guarantee you, as a matter of fact, I will promise you that you will have an opportunity to be able to shine so bright Christ in you and in your marriage. I declare and I decree in the mighty name of Jesus that you will go forward, be all that you can be. I pray that God gives you an opportunity to be able to understand and know, condition our hearts to restore one, receive oneness is key. So, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray for every individual under the sound of my voice, whether it's an individual that you have currently joined in holy matrimony with their spouse. I pray that they understand and know, Father God, how important it is of conditioning their hearts. And I pray for their oneness tonight. And I pray that you give them an opportunity to be able to lean and depend on each other, to be able to love on each other like never before, to be able to have a forgiving heart, Lord God, like you tell us to forgive 7 times 70, to be able to go forward and be all that they can be. Then, Lord God, we know there's individuals that, Father, desire to be married, but that perfect soulmate hasn't been given to them anymore. And so I just pray, Lord God, that you help them, give them an understanding, to, Father God, change any ways that need to be changed and allow them, Father, to be able to receive their gift from you. And then, as always, Lord God, I want to just say thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to minister to your people. Thank you for Minister Jesse. Bless him immensely, Lord God, for he's been a blessing to so many. May, Father God, each and every individual be blessed until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now back in and check out Sister Miss Killings. Minister Killings at 9 o'clock. God bless you. Until next week. Bye-bye.